On your own.
At 1 o'clock?
That and the agenda request. Okay. We're back from recess. We have two agendized items still with agenda request review, the state audit discussion, which we were going to talk the personal issues within exec anyway. Can we move those to one?
Sure. Motion to move to postpone to a definite time the state audit discussion and agenda request review to 1 o'clock.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded to postpone to the definite time of 1 o'clock the discussions regarding the state audit and agenda request review. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Next order of business, staff departmental update, road and bridge. Gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
This is just some information that we're up to as far as our costs on the storm related to the green.
Second time.
Let me make sure it's not just me.
That's my copy. Thank you.
What am I?
The next item is the specs for our aggregates, road oils, and mixes for the summer of 2012-13. I've made some changes to the aggregate specs mainly, and the main thing was in trying to get a better 3/8 type material that we mainly use with our chip seal. We put a specification in there that's mainly in the Missouri standard specifications for highway and construction. And I've talked with
what page are you on?
I'm on page 4 of that spec. If you go back to that portion, is mainly where I started to make the change. And it mainly deals with our half inch and 3/8, and it's also bidding it out two ways, this aggregate loaded on the pit or quarry, and then also the next page, pretty much a copy except all bid prices should reflect delivery to county facilities. Other than that, most of our other material, pretty much, that's just estimated quantities. It doesn't hold us to any of that. The one item I did want to talk about is on page 3. I guess you may have took that out.
Excuse me.
I had an item in the original, but at the bottom is do you want to make any changes to this portion at the bottom? All the underline. I put in the standard for all the materials basically to pretty much kind of a guideline. Randy, most of the materials are pretty good other than the chips we had the problem with. So.
What I've got to understand here is where you've got this underlined, is there a results from a test that might not verify in compliance? Do you move in onto another facility or to reserves that you have stacked at that point if you run into that?
We'd probably handle that one of two ways. If we start running into material that we don't think complies, I mean, we would test it and give them the option to either make the material comply or go with another vendor at that type of deal, possibly.
Well, When I say that, it's because you don't have time to make it to where it'll comply. You've got large amounts of material that are stacked on location, and you don't have time to say, well, we need for you to rerun this or make it right, because when you're chipping ceiling, you're moving with a large group of men in a particular situation.
That's one of the reasons I kind of wanted to put this spec out there before they actually start making the material, because they really need pretty decent weather to make this type of material as far as chip seal. It's not something you can make during really wet weather.
Now, these three paragraphs I just read, there's enough latitude there. For example, if what happens that Danny prescribed, you can immediately jump to someone else, right?
That's what I'm hoping.
That's how I took this.
Here's going to might be the problem. Hopefully there'll be another vendor that has the material. That might be another problem we could run into. So,
well, I mean, your statement was broad enough, I thought, because it says we reserve the right to have material tested for quality at their expense and to take whatever remedial action that may be required. We may not have anybody else to go to. We may have to do something with them, but what this says is we can do whatever we want. I think that's what we need to do.
Here's what I'm thinking that he's saying, and here's where I think we've run into the problems in the past. We need enough of a supply in a location that meets qualifications that we know that if we run up again this time frame and it rains a day or two and then you have to wait for the results and all this kind of stuff that takes place, and we've got a workforce out here that's costing us more than the material is costing us to get it put down, we need to be able to have a stockpile of some kind of a bid, and I guess that's what you've got on your second page, to where we can use that material while we're waiting on all this other stuff to take place. I just don't want it to. Just don't want to hold up 40 miles of road over some material that's in question. Is that what you're trying to do, Randy?
Right. I'm hoping we get good response from all of our quarries, basically, to make a doable. Because I tested, I think, four locations, four materials that I talked to you last year, or early in the last summer. And hopefully if we can get a better material, we'll get a better product in the end. Now, on page four of the spec, that's actually what you would consider a grade B. They make three grades of this material, grade A, grade B, and grade C. Talked with one quarry, they're currently making or got an order for so many thousand ton of a grade C product, which puts this, instead of a 2.5, it puts it at a 3.5, basically. Is that it's better than what we've been using, but
The C is better than what we've been using, you're saying?
C is actually better than what we've been using. What we tested basically was had more dust in it, so it was basically almost 5% average across.
So here's my question. Are we risking not having any supply if we go to a Class B versus just going to C? I mean, I guess that's the question. If C is even better than what we're using, have suppliers locally that can provide a B?
Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They probably would, but what the price and would, I don't want to limit the
one
supplier.
Well, can we price both and award one?
We could do that maybe.
I mean, because if the price is going to be so much greater on Class B than a C, and where it's either one's better than what we have been using,
right,
we need to look at the cost evaluation.
There's two factors here, Jim. One of them's dust
in this
material, and the other one's moisture in the material. As we had last year, we had
four
samples in the office, and one of them looked like it was almost water. Just that accumulated on the bag, other four. I'm not naming anybody right. or anything else. But we need to avoid that situation. I mean,
But I guess what I'm saying is, why don't we price them both? I mean, do you think there could be a price difference?
I don't know. I mean, I could talk to the quarries a little more just to kind of get their input. They could tell me. I mean, how much different is it making these two materials?
Well, I mean,
the one would probably be easier.
If we're bidding it, we're bidding it.
I mean.
Let me inject something here. Okay. Look, we figure these bids, and we've tried to be fair with every company in the county. And we've tried to do it on a mileage basis because we said that it saves us money. Well, that turned out to be false. The fact that we have to go back and re-chip and seal a road in a 4-year span or a 3-year span or a 2-year span versus whatever length we could get out of it cost everybody money. And so that's where I'm at with this, and I don't want it to happen anymore. It's nobody's fault but the fact that it's definitely not Road and Bridge's fault, but we ended up with a product on that ended up costing the county more because those exact roads are going to have to be done, I'm guessing, probably next year because of what we put down. And so those same roads that cost us that double money to do them, they may have lasted 6 years if we had the right kind of chip down.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, even the standard we have in here is doable. It just takes them just a little bit longer to make the material. They need to get a little heads up, and which is they
my
should
concern
have, so.
Is this: what's the cost difference going to be? And if there's no cost difference, let's go with the higher quality because it does. Our roads last a whole lot longer.
That's what he's going to put out for bid, I guess. Two.
Yeah, I mean, this. I want to use this spec and go out for bid. I mean, as far as that material that we use for chip and seal. The rest of the material, I mean, pretty much pretty standard material. We don't have any issues.
Well, I'm fine with going after bid. Absolutely.
What we end up with is limestone comes in, around here. It's two. One of them is a soft, flaky, powdery stuff. The other is a flint type stone that is hard and lasts longer once you get it applied right.
Right.
Our Road and Bridge crew does a great job of application, but the fact that we have the wrong type of material to put down costs the county money. So however you want to figure those, if you want to figure them two or three different ways, I'd rather have the better quality. I think it's better for in the long run.
Okay.
I'll tell you a little more.
Well, I'm fine with better quality. I just want to make sure it fits within our budget. My only concern is go through the bid process, come back, and we can't afford what we bid. And then we didn't bid options, so that's my only thing is we don't have to award everything we bid. That's the only reason I said let's bid everything if there's any question. But whatever you've been working with Mr. Erickson,
right? So. As far as the amount to get through this year, I mean it's plenty doable within our budget as far as aggregate. I'm just hoping it doesn't increase it to an extent that it.
Right.
But we'll just have to see. We still have two roads closed to high water, Slough Hollow and Barker Hole. I couldn't get online to check lake level, so I don't know if they're continuing down or...
You couldn't get a car around K yesterday, but I drove around it in my pickup truck. Is it down all the way down this morning?
I haven't been down there, so I don't think so.
No, by tomorrow morning.
I went around it yesterday with my truck, but I knew that.
It depends on how much rain it is tonight.
It should be, but I'll have to check it this evening.
It is supposed to rain tonight, isn't it?
No. Quail Road. I did go look at this area on Quail Road, and we have this. We generated a work order. David's crew's going to need to go in there. We need to clean a lot of these culverts just out around the head of them, both sides of each driveway culvert, just kind of. They do a lot of leaf burning, debris, whatnot in the ditches, and there's a lot of residue left over from some of that, and that's what the main thing is. And it's more than one location where people, that's easy place for them to burn their leaf debris. So we just need to go in there and kind of re-clean our ditches a lot. And it's pretty consistent around pretty much the whole loop there.
The street cleaner that we bought, will it suck to clean those?
What
use do we have for it? I mean, do we do that particular thing?
We got it that way. I mean, we normally use it for sweet and curb gutter, but we have full leaves out.
Yeah. I'd like to check that out, too, because we've got another purpose for it. I'd like to see if it will work for that.
The next road I want to talk about is Cannonball Loop. This particular road, and it's mainly on the circle part of it, and on the eastern side going north and south is primarily where a lot of the drainage problems are. And it's not any one particular area. It's pretty much the whole circle that needs to be improved upon. One area that we did have complaints with one resident, if we replace the culverts on the opposite side of the road, that he thinks causing a lot of problems, that just moves it down to the next resident and then consistently on down. So we really need to do some improvements on this whole circle here to have it work properly. And
remind me, these are culverts that were put in by the individual homeowners? Or the county?
Possibly. I have no idea.
It was not the county because it was before we took the road in.
Yeah, it's so it wasn't us that put these in. I mean, and not all the driveways have culverts. There's some of them do, some don't. And the majority of them aren't working anyway, either plugged up or various reasons. There might be a few of them that do work. But and one, I'll have to mark it on your maps.
Is
on one here. The one main area that here is a cross pipe right here. So everything, the primary, the hillside and flow and everything goes this way and down the road this way. Right here at this residence, there is a 12-inch pipe that we can find here that drains everything that way. The ditch does not continue around the corner. We cannot find the other end of that pipe. And this is a new homeowner, so he has no idea what it is, or where it daylights. We can't find anything down here. Here's the problem area, or the house. And these naturally drain off into these yards and have looked like since they built it. But there is water running here. These culverts are inconsistent. Either some have driveway culverts, some don't, but then the water runs off in front of the house down here anyway. We haven't received a complaint from there, and I don't know who lives there or whether they're concerned about it. But to really fix it, we either need to replace all these and have a place to go around here back to this pipe, increase the size of this. And same thing with this section. This is the only section that appears to be anyway working.
Let me ask you about this section. So we have a pipe, but we don't know the origination of the water flow. So does it actually work?
This one does, yes.
But didn't you say you can't find the end?
Can't find the end of this.
This one?
Just a 12. And it starts between the houses.
And stops?
And we don't know.
But this one is connected to what?
This one's just a cross pipe under the existing road.
Okay.
So, and we can see both ends, but it's only a 15. So you've got all this water running to a
So how does this water...
Where does that water run?
Yeah, right, how does water get over to here?
Basically down through the yards or wherever, because it's not going consistently down a ditch line.
Because it doesn't go down the ditch line in the topo?
Well, just whatever runs down the road, the edge of the ditch or wherever it can go. I mean, that's
but where does this run once it comes across this cross, through this cross pipe? What about this
right
place?
Right down through here.
Okay.
It's just, this is a natural draw kind of running through here.
So funneling all the water there is not going to tear anybody else up down here, is what?
Well,
Frank, don't leave.
I didn't look that far down through there. I mean, you see timber and trees, but it's in this area, and then it's just kind of a natural draw to there.
Have we got a homeowners association there?
No.
I don't think it even, I can't find even a subdivision name as far as that, so. I mean, you're looking at 29 residents or homes on this, just this loop alone, over 32 driveways. Even replacing the culverts would be, we're probably looking in the neighborhood 10 to 15,000 just for the culverts. And that's just 15 or 24 culverts, footage-wise.
Say it again.
In about 10 to 15,000, or I would estimate by the time we install them and all that, 10 to 15,000. It's about 6,000, 7,000 for material-wise by bid amount footage.
Do you have complaints on all of them?
No, just the mainly one area.
Is there any way to fix that one area cheaper?
It actually just moved the problem about 30, 40 feet down the road. That's what it's going to do. Now, if I try to run it to the lower road between the homes, then it requires a drainage easement and on private property, and there's really not enough room between the residents.
I've been out there and drove that loop, and when you got a driveway without a culvert under it, I mean, what are you going to do? The water is going to run down the yard.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. If you put a culvert under it, it serves no purpose unless you cut a big ditch in their yard all the way down through there.
We'll have to ditch it. We've got to take it all the way to this lower point. And
I'm in favor with Jim and doing one particular section of that thing and seeing if we can't improve on the problem and then move on if we need to fix the rest of it at that time. Have you been out there, Ron? You drove it?
I'm how long ago did the county take this into the system? Long time ago?
It's been a county road ever since I've been
here. Let me tell you something that caused the problem.
Get out of town. Well, nothing's been there that long.
Well, Let me tell you something. We went in there. We've had problems with the sewer. When the sewer went in there and went around, we had constant talk about Cannonball Loop with the way the sewer was put down the middle of the road, transported off. So to resolve the problem may take a long period of time, but let's start on one end of it and do some of it and see if we can...
We only do part of it.
The one problem here where we're getting the complaints is on the very upper end. And if I fix that one area, that just moves it down to the next residence. But it's a long way to really get rid of the water to where it doesn't affect anybody.
Well, wherever you get down to where you're going to try to get rid of it, though, you're going to...
That's
the property owner.
Let me ask you this. You're saying this section is working over here on this far... I mean, east?
You have to ditch it all the way, right?
And you can't ditch
this
it.
This is working?
You don't have a cover.
This pretty much
they
works.
They just off the road right into your yard.
You can't get it down there.
No.
Okay. I couldn't remember
the ditch line.
I couldn't remember the topo of this.
Yeah. Water just
and this is
across
the
there and right down on their neighbor.
Huh? That's the one that's basically just the foundation now.
I think we should just test... Let's see if we can't. Let's test the theory by doing this one first.
Okay.
What do you think, Danny?
That's what I think. I think that's the only way you're going to get at.
It's a big chunk of investment there.
So the thought is to The problem is you squeal. That's what you're doing.
Excuse me. I lost my head for a minute. Here, why don't you take this to...
for a minute. To...
We're saying, I think two of the commissioners, and we're all three.
I'm right with these guys.
There you go.
Okay.
Are you in agreement with us, Mr. Larry? Mr. Stottle?
He's nodding, for the record.
Yeah. I couldn't see with them sunglasses like that whether he was Larry or Stottle.
What else you got for us, Randy?
The next item,
7 minutes, because you said you only needed 45. I'm joking.
Next item we've got is Fall Creek Road drainage. City of Branson wants to change a cross culvert on Fall Creek Road.
You know they want that entire road if we just upgraded?
Well, I realize that.
Okay. They want it if we upgrade it.
$4 million, by the way. That's the fine print.
Basically, on Fall Creek, they want to change an existing pipe, upgrade it to about a foot and a half, a 4 foot wide concrete box would be the best structure. Then they can improve some drainage in the area that they maintain on,
Dalton
and in between Dalton. They've got there's a daycare that's almost washing the building out for the drainage that runs through there.
Okay.
So they're improving, changing cross pipes on their roads here too. But they want to change this cross pipe here.
They want us to change it?
No, they are. They're just asking for our permission. And then
it's on our side.
I think that'd be great.
I mean, I'm all for improving this. There is another existing pipe. They're going to leave it.
Okay. Sounds great.
Overflow, so they're just going to give us a heads up.
I think that's a great.
That's my paper. And I think Olson, they do have plans and everything. There's a bid opening. They've got a schedule here. So I'm going to keep up behind where we're at.
Next road, don't look at the clock, just keep on going.
All right.
We haven't been on schedule all day today, so.
Next road, this gentleman come over this morning.
I'm familiar with him. Mr. Stottle, I believe you're familiar with this gentleman also.
So what do you want us to do with this one? This one's
called
Shady Drive.
This is where the TomTom GPS system has decided to make that a through road up through Dalton. And so the GPS system...
Is it a county road?
It's a county... It's a non-maintained... Well, it's in the maintenance program, isn't it?
Part of it was in the maintenance program. The section in question was never taken in. There are utilities running up and down this road. It does show up on mapping as far as the center line and a public road, but
right. We've put road closed signs. We've said no turnaround signs. It's reduced it, but it has not eliminated it. I believe his thing is the constant turnaround is still loosening what work we've done up there.
That, and he would like to see it blacktopped or hard surfaced.
I heard that.
He had to... I don't know, it was confusion in some of the discussions with him, but he thinks that we were going to do this.
We actually
widened out to try to create because of vehicles getting hung up.
We had vehicles turn around getting hung up, so we created a cul-de-sac. There's still vehicles up there turning around that are kind of starting to... I haven't been up there in the last 30 days, but he's saying that some turnarounds have taken place that have caused some deterioration. It's just gravel.
Yeah, it's just gravel.
It's,
right,
and I understand it's not 100 yards long, is it?
We about.
It's not much more than.
Yeah, I'd say it's closer.
If we got a cul-de-sac down there, next time you guys go through there, chipping and seal it, chip and seal it, and forget about it.
Where it comes off Illinois.
What about, if we just chipped and seal it, would that cause the, fix the concern?
Not just the county part. No, not.
The road's blocked off. They can't get all the way through it.
Past the cul-de-sac.
That's where we've got it.
The cul-de-sac is what's being torn up right now because people are coming up there like a brains and fire truck.
That's at the gentleman's residence. They can't go beyond that point.
Right.
But it can be chip sealed up to that
point. Up to that point.
Yeah. Wasn't the city taking this on there for a short period of time?
Well, they had it in an agreement with a snow removal route agreement under a previous administrator's. And that's not what they intended. So they withdrew they did a do-over.
Actually, they took over what we were maintaining. Our maintenance stopped up on top of the hill where we put up the barricade to close that section of Shady. Now, that's where they maintain to right now. This part wasn't.
Someone came down Shady the other day. Did he tell you that this morning?
Yeah. Somebody with a utility company. They got an easement down through there to.
But they got stuck coming down too.
Yeah.
If it's on a county road and it's 100 yards long and it's got a cul-de-sac on the end of it and it's causing problems, that's the first time you're out there chipping sealing in that area, just chip and seal it and let's forget about it. Is there anything wrong with it? It's county road, chip and seal a cul-de-sac, and call it quits. It's not in my district, Jim. It's in yours.
I would support that.
I'm getting tired of us working on it and complaining. The complaints about it whenever. How many times has this thing come up since?
This year.
I mean, it's 100 yards long.
Same complainer, right?
Huh?
Same complainer?
Yeah.
But it goes right. It's a county road.
It hangs out. It's because of where he lives compared to the county road. I mean,
right.
Is the entire stretch of road a county road? Mm-hmm. It's not, right?
No. Not a Shady. Well, that's the part that's deceiving. You go back and you were approved to take in a named road, but if it doesn't give a specific distance and somebody builds farther down than where we actually maintain. I mean, that's.
Randy, was that in a road district that was taken over by the county?
Was
that in the old Branson Road District?
I don't think this one. Was this one
still going over there this year?
David, was this in Branson Special?
That's fine with me. Just say we're not going to do it this year, but we are going to chip seal it to the cul-de-sac.
The whole upper end.
Right, I know, but what he was asking was this in the.
We're paved up there to the end.
Right.
That's I realize. It.
So we're paved to where the county is a county road, is what you're saying.
Yes. All of our part is hard surface, yes. It's this little section of gravel that he's.
If it's not county, I don't want it done.
Let me ask you a question. Let's go on Illinois before it gets to the bridge, you know, right where that. Like, is that a MoDOT storage area? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's a MoDOT area.
Is there any way that we can just somehow almost block the road there and just say private drive from that point forward? Because there's only, what, four residents, five? There's probably more than that back there.
There's a barricade right there.
I know, it says road closed.
Yeah.
Road closed to through traffic.
And then we also have one on the upper.
On the upper side of
on
Dalton.
On the upper side, yes.
I don't think chip seal's going to fix the problem, and plus we don't have anything going over there this year, so I would say let's not, Danny. I mean, unless we can sign it better, I just don't see any way to fix this problem except asphalt, and if we asphalt, we're going to do a whole lot more work than that. It's not a cheap...
Well, then the result is, next time you boys bring it up, what are we going to do about that? Because I'm...
You talk about it about 10 times.
See, it can only come up every 6 months.
If it's not county road, but I thought I was coming up with a good solution.
It's a great solution. I don't know if that will solve the problem eventually.
Will not.
I mean, I thought the best thing we did out there was when we cleaned out, you know, some
ditch line. I mean, I thought that helped the road a lot.
It did. I mean, he...
It's helped a lot from...
Right. He even said that.
The erosion part. But I'll take you up on a future road paved in the future. How's that? I'll take that trade later.
The chip and seal.
Let me pick a name. Let me pick a road in the future. It's like a future trade pick.
An attempt to do something sometimes is more passive than not doing anything at all. And
I will. I'm going to talk to the resident today, and I'm going to tell him that we're going to not be able to deal with any paving this year in 2012. And that the future commission, starting 2013, can address it. And mostly because Commissioner Strahan was all for chip and seal, but we don't have any chip and seal over there. So maybe next year, Ron.
So now, when he calls me, you want me to have him say he's ready?
Yes.
He's not?
Oh, I won't be here in 2013. So...
I meant tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I was going to talk to Linda, and she said no. Yeah,
and I heard you. That's not going to take care of the problem, right?
No, not
budget was going to be in September. I asked her about that. She said no. She said no.
Next!
Done.
Yeah. That's what she said to me. I asked her for you the other day whenever you asked
her. I thought it was real close.
No, because I think I'm hopeful that we're going to have a 410s discussion.
Yes.
Is that next on your list, or do you have another road?
No. The only other thing, I've got a, you look at this. I would like, we do have some mechanics that are certified, and that's kind of an upgrade training for is that air conditioning?
Yeah, they're fixing the chain and go to another different type of freon here pretty quick. And that's just advanced training on there, which is very important to stay within the regulations.
And I'm thinking that's around $89, $90 per person for that training. And it's an evening class at White River.
I've got two, and I don't know if Paul was certified or there. If you're not certified, there's no point in going to it. So
and what about, what, do you know anything about, did he put on his resume the new hire?
I didn't see that on there. We'd have to ask him, but I didn't. Okay.
But it is important deal to stay up on the new laws. We're changing that all the time on that. It is a big deal.
Okay. Now, I mean, if we do have people certified, do you think it's a possibility we might send who got certified to that?
How long is it?
Yeah, I think it's a 4-hour. It's an oven evening.
I don't see any problem with it.
3.5-4 hours. So.
What about White River? You heard about the two guys up at the mountain and them?
I don't know. I can ask if Mountain's certified. We'll find out.
One of them may be, could be up there in the Sheriff's Department deal, so
okay.
I'm fine with it.
Me too.
Okay. On to 10-hour days. We come up with a plan or option that what we plan to do is overall on Monday we would have 37 personnel. Tuesday through Thursday we would have full crews, 57 personnel. Friday we would have 20 personnel. That's the manpower we'd have for the 5 days. How that breaks down, we talked about splitting. Like Mount Branch and Buchanan shop, but with the numbers being at 15 total personnel at each shop, we might run into some issues of scheduling different, the various things that they might have to do. So we thought about keeping them two shops kind of combined, but Mount Branch and we would have them open Tuesday through Friday. Buchanan's open Monday through Thursday. That way Mount Branson could cover issues in that area, being they're pretty much located closer to that as far as transfer and other issues on that side of the county. Hilda will have people primarily all 5 days except Friday. They would run about a five-man crew to where I can get a total personnel of 20 people on Friday. Pretty much Monday will be Buchanan and Hilda crew working, Mount Branson being off. And then everybody will be working Tuesday through Thursday. Friday will primarily be Mount Branson and five guys at Hilda.
Really, I don't care about any of that numbers except for the amount that it takes to do chip and seal whenever it's ready to do. My main concern, and I voiced this before, is if it's raining one day through the week and then we've got a Friday or a Monday that we haven't got anybody working and chipping, the sun's shining and we're trying to get work done. That's my main concern. I don't have any idea how you work it out. It doesn't make me a bit of difference. I just want to be able to get that chip and seal crew and keep them together and work it. I don't have any problems with when or how long or whatever, but I just want to be able to man a chip and seal crew to be working.
Well, primarily, with that option right there, it'll give chip and seal at least 40 hours. Now, the only bad part about that Monday through Thursday, which primarily chip seal crew is worked out of Hilda. The patch crew and the paint crews and other things are going to be worked out of the other two shops. Downfall to that is rains on Thursday. Hilda's only got five people working on Friday. And then we got the whole Mount Branson shop of 15 people. Now, them people can chip seal on that day, but the guys you primarily have doing that are normally going to be off. So, and the other option we looked at was working a split crew with all three shops to where we could have that, but you'd still be limited as far as personnel run a full-blown chip seal on one or two days because it would be a lighter. But you could schedule a workload of running a tanker instead of two tankers on a day like that, too. What's
your approximate time on 40 days of or 40 miles of chip seal?
We're probably looking at them being scattered and prepped. We should be able to do that in probably 6 weeks, easy enough. Some of them are subdivisions. They're going to take just a little bit longer as far as traffic and so many intersections, but that should be fairly doable.
After we get past that, you know, that point,
that's the biggest thing that will be that takes the most people as far as our type of work is a chip seal.
How many people do you count in your trucks and your crews and everything? How many do you use to put on the chip seal?
What I would schedule, if we were doing three mile or so, you would need at least 14, 15 people.
I found this closer to 17 when you're on open.
I mean, flagmen and all.
Yeah.
And the longer the mileage, the more men you have to have.
Well, a lot of
keep your trucks running and all that kind of stuff.
Length of the haul makes a big difference too, as far as putting more trucks on it.
We had run about 17 man crew on chip and seal all the time. That covers all of it. That's pretty straight out. That's your flaggers, your road people, your move people. That's all of it.
By splitting all three barns, your scheduling becomes a lot tougher to me. It'll be a lot easier for Harlan with his whole chip and seal crew there each day versus 2 days. Somebody else is going to be on different equipment, different rollers.
I understand that, Dave. I hope you understand where I'm coming from on the 5 days a week. The public, that's who we're working for, the public, and their perception of a rainy day that you're not there and road half done, and then it comes a good sunshiny day and nobody's there. That's the only complaints I get from the phone calls at the office. If everything was a perfect world, you wouldn't even have to be talking about it, but it just don't work that way, so...
You guys need to give me some of the pros as to how it's in the county's best interest for the employees in Road and Bridge to work 4/10s as opposed to 5/8s, because I believe we lose productivity. Obviously, you all don't think that. I believe we get more work done in 5/8s than we do in 4/10s, so that costs the county. I'd rather support a pay increase that I would go into 4/10s. Help me out and tell me that I'm mistaken. I mean, if I am, I will accept that. Do we lose productivity when we go to 4/10s?
You do not. You gain productivity because you're set up on the job. You don't have to set up as many. You lose one day I haven't set up. You have less than fuel to get back and forth to that job.
I understand. What time are they on the job, an employee? 7 o'clock?
Right now, yes.
And if we go to 5/10s, what time are they on the job?
6:30 to 5.
Okay, so they're on the job site at 6:30.
And they start. I tell them where they're going at 6:30.
The check-in at the barns.
They go to the job site. And they're back at the barn by 5.
Okay. So you're convinced that we have more productivity?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Devin?
Absolutely. I believe it's cost efficient in every aspect.
Where do you see the 8 hours are more productive? I mean, like I say, when you're set up on a job and going, if I have to sit down in 7 hours to get back to the shop, I've got that whole extra day of setting up.
Here's what I'll be doing is relying on you guys to make sure that our crews are working. So the shift is 6:30 to
5 o'clock.
That allows a half hour?
Yes, sir.
Is that enough off out of the 10-hour day?
The 30 minutes per hour? Yes, sir. They get 2 15-minute breaks a day, whether it's 8 hours or 10 hours a day.
Based upon county policy?
I think state policy.
I don't, but...
I don't know.
It'd be county policy. Because it's not federal, it's not state, not to the best of my knowledge. Anyway. I don't care if it's twice that much. I'm just... Okay.
How could we be better help to you to get... I know that when guys come in and I'm out there, I see what time they get on the job and what time they leave the job to go back to the shop. Is there anything that we could do to help you to increase that amount of time that they come in, that they get on the job earlier, or what they do whenever they leave at 2:30 to get to the shop at 3:30? I mean, there's some things that just need some touch-up, is what I'm saying.
I would agree with you, Danny. Probably my biggest concern, it's not the beginning time, because it's cooler in the day during the summer. The guys who are going to work, they want to get to work because the day gets hotter. So getting there, getting to the actual job site is not my concern. My concern is cutting out early. And I think that's maybe where I've heard some statements in the past is, you know, if they're working till 5, we want them to work till whatever's left to get them to back to the office by 5, and back to the shop by 5. So if they're 30 minutes from the shop, they should leave at 4:30 to get to the shop at 5. My concern is they'd leave earlier than that to get back to the shop, and we lose that productivity gain that we're trying to gain. That's probably what I'm saying is I'm more concerned with them cutting out early because it is so hot, and they just come back to the barn early, and we lose what we thought we were going to gain. And I don't know, and that's my only hesitancy. I'm for the 410s, and I'll support the plan. I mean, you guys, the way I look at it, you guys are, you're supposed to run the shop the best you know how, and you know what the productivity is and what the workload is. So I'm going to rely on you guys to say, if we want 410s, it's the best thing for us. And knowing you guys have the county's interest in the back of your mind, I mean, I know that you've got a balancing act, the crews, and what's best for the county. My biggest thing is maintaining those guys to work to a point where it's reasonable to go back. I mean, if they have to go back a little early to prepare for the next morning, I understand that. But it's more of this going back and they're at the shop for an hour and a half and they're looking for things to do versus we lose the productivity that we're hoping to gain. That's my biggest thing. I mean, I brought up something to you last week that you're addressing with your crews. But that's what I would say is that's my biggest hesitancy. And would ask you guys to look after is make sure the guys don't leave the job site sooner so we don't lose those gains. We don't lose what we think we're gaining.
Yeah, and we've run this, as you, of course, well know, several years, and mm-hmm. It's been very successful. We do not have problems with it.
If a guy goes to work of a morning at 6:30 and you have to get him out there, I mean, that's a big job for you guys to do the scheduling. If you got one big job going, it's easier. You just get them filled up and get them out there. Where you've got to send them to several locations, fill up time on all the equipment. When they come in early, I don't know whether they're filling up or what their machines or what. I don't understand the time lapse from going to work at 7 or showing up at 8:30 or 9. And leaving at 2:30 to 3, and I've known that to happen in the past. One or the other has to change, and it's not you that gets the calls; it's me that gets the calls, and that's where my problem is with it. As long as you guys, and you know that I bragged on you on this storm deal, and everybody that does work for the county, and it's just that I think we get caught up in so many different situations that sometimes our scheduling gets all out of whack. I don't know where the boys fill up whenever they come in from a job, where their equipment's ready to roll out the next morning as soon as they find out, or if they fill up that next morning when you send them out. I don't have a clue. I just know it takes time. I've worked heavy equipment all my life. I know it takes time to get started. But you got to be there on the job, and you got to have her rolling. That's the way it is in the workforce, in the real world, as I say. And we might, you know, like I said, you might teen up on a little bit of that stuff, and keep the commissioners from getting a phone call that we have to defend, and I'll be fine with.
Well, that's one perks that happens so much, because y'all will get a call from the public that don't have any idea that this man had to load certain things this morning. He had to go get X things before he gets to that job site they don't know anything about.
Right.
Which creates confusion, isn't it? But you'll get that on 8 hour a day, 10 hour a day, no matter what day.
Yeah, here's the deal though, Harlan. They don't have to do it the same day. What I'm saying is they don't have to show up at 9 when they go to work at 7, they don't have to show up at 9, and then they don't have to leave at 2:30 if they're late getting to the shop at 3:30. Those are the things that are confusing. One or the other, whatever they're doing, doesn't bother me, but the two combinations of the two things and the shortening of the day with a 15-minute break, that makes a problem. And I think that we're all here for the benefit of the county, and I think you guys know that, so we just need to kind of maybe keen up on that a little bit. And like I said, we're sending you out to do, what is it, 600 and some miles of road in different locations all over the county, so I understand. I mean, I go out to get on my old dozer, it takes me an hour to prep the old thing to get ready to roll, you know. But whenever I climb off of it, I'm gone. I'm climbing off at that time to go home. So
we're going to say go forward with it?
With the 410?
Mm-hmm. Based off how they laid it out?
I don't know about it. I'm more interested in the one thing, getting the chip and seal done. I'm not interested in the 410s, however they arrange it around. I just want a crew to do chip and seal and get her done. And however you guys want to arrange that, that's fine with me.
Well, a big question of mine's answered from the guys telling me we have better productivity with 410s than we did 5/8s. That was not my perception.
Well, we were told that.
But,
from...
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I trust these guys. That's who I'm asking the questions of, and not that I don't trust you guys. That's not what I don't mean.
No.
I just mean that's my perception. Well, okay, I don't trust you guys. All right, let's go. to me, the reason that we go to 410s is because the employees want to go to 410s. I believe I would if I was there. That's just simple. It's in the best interest of the county, and that's what I'm trying to find out. It's a perk. But you guys have answered my questions.
Around us that are on.
I think it saves the county money.
Yeah. I'm not arguing. I'm just asking.
Of the smaller counties.
I do think it saves the county money in fuel, and it is more productive.
Okay.
And let me defend Ron's position. Part of what we heard from a former road superintendent was that just exactly the opposite of what they're saying. I mean, Mr.
Because he told me when he was in that it was productive. He looked it up.
Yeah, that's what we were told. But
I don't know what he told you guys.
Am I right, Jim?
What? What you heard and what I heard was right, but what they may have heard, it needs something different.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear from. I didn't want it to sound like it's.
I think we both are right.
Yeah. So.
He sure told us he had documents where it showed the other way. I thought what he told us.
Absolutely.
But I mean,
I think you've got consensus to move to the 410s. When are we going to do this? I'm sorry.
I mean, these guys would know if it's working or not. These are the guys who would know. I mean, that's so. I mean, it's worked in the past. Otherwise, you guys would have said it's not working. Don't do it because you would have said we need to get the work done, and you guys know that. So, how soon?
I would like to do it next week, if possible. Scheduling with these guys. Now, if it becomes a problem with getting our chip seal work or some unforeseen reason, I mean,
you guys make the adjustments.
We'll make the adjustment and either go back or we'll make a critical adjustment and make sure we're productive if we have issues with it.
You see, one thing you really have to take into account is vacations, sick time, personal days, and all those things have to be figured into this whole equation too. So we're counting on you guys. You you're our appearance to the public, and that's what I'm trying to help you make the decision. Like I said, if there's anything that we can do to help you with some of the other stuff, well, let us know.
When you are actually chipping, sealing 10-hour days on normal roads, you can get off the two tankers. If you're on 8-hour days, you can't usually get two tankers off in 8 hours.
So you got to take it back and heat it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So it's a big advantage in chip and seal, the actual 10-hour days, because you can accomplish more in the 4-10s than you can the 5-8s.
Okay.
Absolutely. Or you run into overtime on them days, because once the oil's there, you have no choice to get it down to where you can tank it.
Randy, did you get some other issues?
No, that was, you pretty well answered the other question I had, so that was all I had.
The reason I said that is we put two issues off to one, and yeah, we had one issue clocked right for one.
Have a recess then.
Guys, thank you. Thank you for your input. Didn't mean to seem argumentative, but I needed to ask some questions answered so that I can, in fact, answer questions that people talk to. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Stand in recess until 1 o'clock. Pretty close to 1 o'clock.